It's A Couple Cooks, the podcast with Sonia and Alex Overheiser. We're a couple on a mission to find the tastiest good-for-you eats you can make in your kitchen, because the way we eat can make a meaningful difference.
Join us as we chase after real good food through stories, recipes, and conversations about cooking at home and eating well. Welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're glad you're here.
We are married. We love to cook together. And we started a website 7 years ago to document some of the recipes we were making. And a bit after that, we started this podcast to continue to connect with you, inspire your kitchen journey, and have a bit of fun.
And you can find those recipes over at acouplecooks.com. There's hundreds and hundreds of them, mostly vegetable-centric, healthy-ish recipes that are good for your everyday.
Now, here on the podcast, we love talking to people who are doing incredible, interesting, and unique things in food. And this week's guest is incredibly unique. Her name is Nicole Gulotta. She writes the website Eat This Poem, which pairs poems with recipes that she's created. She recently wrote a book with the same title, Eat This Poem, and she's joined us here in our A Couple Cooks studio to talk about her book.
But before we get to that interview, we have a recipe from the book that you can find on our website, and we're going to share about it right now.
That's right. We made mushroom and brie quesadillas from the Eat This Poem cookbook, and they were just as delicious as they sound.
Wait, hold on. So mushrooms and brie, that sounds pretty simple. Do I need a recipe for a quesadilla?
Well, that's a good question. You do need a recipe in this case because there are a few other flavors going on. We've got some fresh rosemary in there chopped up, which you could use anything that's in your garden this summer. And then there's a bit of arugula and then a little bit of local honey, which brings a light sweetness to the dish that contrasts with the savory flavors, that umami going on in the mushrooms, and that gooey brie cheese. So all of it is an incredible treat.
That actually sounds really good, and I've had this. It is really good. It's a lot of complexity of flavor without complexity of effort.
Exactly. It's so easy to make a quesadilla, and that's one of our kind of go-to recipes when we're not quite sure what to make on a weeknight especially. So if you happen to have some brie laying around and some mushrooms and a garden full of herbs, this is a perfect recipe.
Or if you have a garden full of herbs laying around and you have a grocery store where you can find brie and mushrooms, you should still make this recipe.
Exactly.
So Nicole Gulotta was coming through Indianapolis on her book tour for Eat This Poem, and we got her to sit down with you in our studio.
That's right. We talked all about slowing down, enjoying the journey of the kitchen, and taking time to enjoy poetry and just a slower pace of life.
And after a hectic holiday weekend, we're hoping that this interview can be a bit of a meditation for you. So we're just going to leave you with Nicole and Sonia.
I'm here in the A Couple Cooks studio with Nicole Gulotta of Eat This Poem. Nicole, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So you are the creator behind Eat This Poem, the website, and the new book that is now out in stores. And I was wondering if you could kind of take us back to before you knew how to cook, because this hasn't been a lifelong passion of yours, has it?
No, it actually started, I would say, kind of later in my life. So I grew up in a big Italian-American family. So I was around food a lot and sort of a love of food in my family, but I didn't have any interest in learning how to make it at all.
What were you interested in at the time?
I loved spaghetti and meatballs, and I loved eating a lot of junk food and kind of the standard American diet. I was not the best eater growing up. I don't think I ate a bean until I was in my 20s. So that's a little bit about my food background. But then when I went away to college, my second year, I moved off campus into an apartment. So I lost my dining hall pass and I had to learn how to cook to just sustain myself.
So this is like actual survival skills.
Yes, this is survival mode. And I knew some very basic things. I could boil pasta. I could make a really terrible omelet, grilled cheese sandwiches. Very simple cooking.
Well, that's better than where I was in college.
Yeah. So. I was not eating ramen every night, only occasionally. But so that's when I started watching the Food Network, and I found something very accessible in a lot of those shows. And I started printing out the recipes that were appealing to me, and I would follow them to a T. And I just started very simply really learning the basics. I didn't know how to hold a knife. I didn't know how to smash garlic, all those things that are just inherently part of the cooking process now. I had to learn how to do sort of one by one. And visually seeing all of that on television really helped me learn it. So when I started cooking, as we said, it was really just kind of survival mode. And it took a year or two to sort of really get comfortable and finally start feeling like, okay, I can maybe trust my intuition a little bit, or I can add a little bit extra of this. I don't have to follow the recipe so closely. And then I would say maybe after graduating, like 1 to 2 years from there, that's when I started really understanding that my interest in food went way beyond just putting a meal on a table because I needed to eat. It was something I became very passionate about. I started wanting to know more about where my food came from. My husband and I were cooking a lot together at that time, and so it was just something that we could really enjoy and sort of grow together with. But yeah, so it was really kind of a slow and steady progression. It wasn't something where it just sort of came out of nowhere. It was just learning over time, figuring out my tastes, and yeah, I guess that covers most of it.
One of the unique things about your website is that it pairs a poem with a recipe that you've created yourself. So how did we get from a girl who didn't know how to cook, then a girl who liked to cook, and then a girl who could create her own recipes and then pair those with poetry?
So that story probably starts with my interest in poetry. So poetry really came first for me before food. I started writing poetry when I was in high school and was very serious about it for a number of years. I went to graduate school and got a master's in poetry. So that was really my passion for a long time. And I did actually start another food blog before I started Eat This Poem. And that blog, in hindsight now, I sort of realize what a gift that blog was, because this was early days of food blogging. This was 2008 when I started. And before I started that blog, I hadn't really written about food much. I had written a lot of, you know, personal essays and things, but I didn't really tie them into food experiences. So I was sort of learning to become a food writer and a recipe developer. And that was really a training ground to find my voice as a food writer. And about 3 years into that blog, I sort of had this moment of crisis where I was starting to feel like, I can't write this blog anymore. It's not fulfilling me creatively. Something's missing. And it occurred to me around that same time that poetry was almost completely absent from my life, just by way of, you know, finishing school, starting to work full time, and kind of balancing, you know, my creative pursuits outside of other responsibilities. I was cooking a lot because we needed to eat and I enjoyed it, but poetry and writing was sort of falling away a little bit in a way that was subtle at first, so I didn't really notice how strong the absence was. And then, as I said, you know, 3 years in, I finally had that moment of realization of I have to do something different. And it took me a little while to figure out what that different thing would be. And I knew I wanted to get back somehow to poetry, but in some ways I was a little bit nervous to go back because I didn't know if I would relate to it in the same way. I didn't know if I would still love it as much as I used to. I was afraid it was just sort of a phase in my life and I would start reading it again and would feel nothing. So I was a little apprehensive for a while. And then I had one of those moments where that you can't fully explain, but I just felt a nudge to kind of go over to my cabinet and pull some books down and just see what happened. And I was standing in the hallway reading a poem called Baskets by Louise Gluck, which is in the book. And it's a longer poem. In the first stanza, we meet a woman at a farmer's market and she's inspecting lettuce and looking at eggs and lemon. And after finishing that section, I immediately thought, I could make a salad. And I had all these ingredients that just lifted up on the page. And it was sort of shocking to me because I had been reading poetry for so long and I never paid attention to food references in that way. So it was kind of amazing that all my years of experiencing food and writing a food blog and cooking all of a sudden led me back to poetry in a way that now related to my life as it was in that moment and the life that, you know, I had created for myself over the past few years. So I was so excited to kind of have that electric moment of just knowing that this was what I needed to do. So it took me about 2 or 3 weeks. I closed down my old blog. I put up my very first post, and that was in January 2012. So here we are.
One of the things I like about poetry is that it really causes you to slow down in order to read it. And for me, a similar experience I've had to you is starting in the workforce, mm-hmm. being really busy and kind of forgetting all those old art forms that I really used to enjoy.
Right.
And especially for me also in the kitchen, I mean, I've always kind of been, I started out, very speedy in the kitchen, just trying to get from A to B. But I think there are probably some parallels in the way that you need to approach poetry and cooking in kind of a slower, more meditative manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think the way that food and poetry sort of intersects for me is I see both of those things as creative acts. And whether you're the cook or the poet, you are starting with a set of ingredients that you use to essentially create something from nothing. So you have a cook who has a knife, they have a technique, they might saute something or roast something, they have spices, they have their own experiences that they bring to the kitchen as well. And then you have a writer who has, you know, a pen or a pencil, they have their notebook, they might have a certain form that they're trying to write a poem in. They also bring their own life experiences to the page. So I think there's something sort of magical about that process where you can take all of these separate things and create something beautiful from them. And a poem, of course, can be consumed more in kind of a spiritual sense. And then the food, you know, in a way that feeds your body. So I really see that link being kind of a wonderful, like, body and soul thing. And I think what you mentioned about poetry slowing you down is something that I don't think I really started appreciating until recently. When I was younger and reading poetry and writing it sort of obsessively, it just permeated my life completely. And I didn't stop to think about being mindful. It was always there. And then that same experience where, you know, you finish school and you're sort of out of that academic setting and you're trying to get on your feet professionally, whatever that means. And you do have to go back and like reconnect with those things that brought you joy and figure out new ways to experience them. And I love that with poetry, and it's so short. And these days, you know, I have a toddler at home and I get tired really early and it's tough for me to get through a novel in a reasonable amount of time, but I can read a poem every day and feel like I've accomplished something and feel like I've just taken a moment for myself to just enjoy what someone has produced to, you know, for readers to consume. So I think there's something really wonderful about poetry in that way. And I like to say that poetry, reading poetry for me is an act of self-care. And I think it really can be because it brings you into a different mindset. And like you said, it has kind of that meditative quality. And even if it lasts 30 seconds or a minute, sometimes that's all you need in the day or all you can, you know, accommodate. And that's enough.
I like what you said about it being a pretty efficient experience, yes. Though it does slow you down and right. is meditative. It also is something that you can easily fit into your day.
Absolutely.
You mentioned being the mom of a toddler. I can hear the voices in my head saying, of course, that I couldn't have a spiritual experience in the kitchen when I have kids to take care of, mouths to feed, all sorts of different responsibilities in the evening. How do you balance that as a mom now?
Yeah, I think it's different at every stage. So when he was younger, I think it was harder to go into the kitchen and enjoy it in a meditative way that I may be used to. But as he's gotten older now and he can play in his room on his own for 20 or 30 minutes at a time, we sort of have a routine now where we get home and we maybe go on a walk with our dog. And then he starts playing in his room and I prep dinner. And, you know, even though I'm watching him and taking care of things around the house, I'm still in the kitchen alone for even if it's a short amount of time. And I sort of feel myself having that muscle memory again and just enjoying putting a meal together, even if it's very simple, but just something that I can feed my family and that feels really nourishing at the end of the day. So I think with kids, things change so quickly. So I'm trying to just stay really rooted in the present and just enjoy whatever phase we're in and just take the moments when I can get them.
And you mentioned joy and enjoying what you're doing in the kitchen.
Right.
That's something for me that's taken a long time to cultivate. As I previously mentioned, I used to think, okay, what's the shortest distance from A to B? And right. there was no thought about enjoying the process. Is that something that you think about when you're in the kitchen?
I do. I think about it now. I don't think I did at the beginning when I was just trying to put stuff together. And in some ways, maybe I didn't think about it because I wasn't really confident in my intuition as a cook. And I think when you're trying to think a lot and you're trying to make something just right and you don't want to mess it up, it's hard to get in that really reflective, meditative state. But when you're comfortable and you're working with that muscle memory and just pulling stuff out and sauteing things and stirring, and it all just feels very effortless, I think that's when your brain can kind of shift gears and suddenly you can, you know, maybe think about something else or, you know, just kind of enjoy the moment and be very present. Even if you're chopping onions or like peeling Brussels sprouts or whatever, you can just be in that moment and do that. And I think that is an exercise that you do have to cultivate. I don't think that happens overnight, and you have to be very mindful that that's something you want to do. And I think there are so many applications with writing and creativity as well as cooking where you really have to enjoy the journey with it, where with food, the end result is the meal that you consume, but it's really important to enjoy, you know, peeling things and boiling things and all of the aspects that go into that. When you're writing a story or a book or whatever, the end result might be a finished book that could take years to get to. So you have to love those small moments where you can get joy and feel like you're rooted in what you're supposed to be doing and be content with that.
And I think some people get tripped up because they don't get to that place and they're kind of in that first phase of just trying to figure that out. When you were talking, it made me remember when I was first starting out in the kitchen and having guests come before I was ready and trying to balance so this plate or that plate and stir this. Right. And I was so stressed. And I think in that phase, I thought, I'll never be able to do this. And I like what you said about starting to really ingrain those rhythms over time. Mm-hmm. It takes time, but starting to build that muscle memory so that it can be a lot more relaxing. Yeah. Of a process.
I remember when my son was born, I had this fear that I wouldn't get back to the kitchen in the same way because, you know, it's very chaotic and stressful having a newborn, as you know. And I just wasn't sure. I couldn't see the future. And right then I was in a moment where I was taking care of a newborn. And of course I couldn't cook in the same way. But I was so pleasantly surprised as he's gotten older that I've been able to tap back into kind of that person I used to be in the kitchen. And sure, things are a little bit different now and we have to be more flexible and all of that. But I think because I had a lot of muscle memory stored up and I had been cooking for a long time and trusting my instincts, you know, when the time was right, I was able to call on those again and sort of create a new experience in the kitchen.
And enjoy the journey.
And enjoy the journey. Absolutely.
Well, I would love to hear you read one of the poems that are in your
sure.
book. Do you have one picked out that you could share with us?
I do. I have this short poem called Tree by Jane Hirschfield that I think is just really beautiful. And I think it's perfect for what we've been talking about. There's really a sense of being mindful and being in the present moment in this poem and using food as sort of an area where you can think and give yourself pause when there might be a lot of chaos in your external world. So this is Tree by Jane Hirschfield. It is foolish to let a young redwood grow next to a house. Even in this one lifetime, you will have to choose. That great calm being this clutter of soup pots and books. Already the first branch tips brush at the window. Softly, calmly, immensity taps at your life.
Just got chills.
I did too. It's a really beautiful poem, and I think a sentiment that I like to think about when I can.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nicole. How can people follow your story of Eat This Poem and kind of everything that's going on in the life of Nicole Gulotta?
Yes. So you can find me at eatthispoem.com, where I blog about recipes and poetry. And my handles are just my name on Twitter and Instagram, Nicole Gulotta, all spelled out. And I occasionally write about writing and creativity over at NicoleMGulotta.com.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.